What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here. Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by Jacob Milham. He joins us on the show today. He is with Kings of Kauffman. The Royals, they've won three games in a row against the Pirates. They also performed very well against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they split the series against the Seattle Mariners. The Royals were playing some pretty decent ball. Jacob, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing good, T-Dot. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Jake, let's start with this. Are you a roller coaster individual? I am not. I don't have any interest on getting on one. I don't think I've been on one since 1995. Are you a roller coaster guy?
Listen, I don't think any Kansas City Royals fan can say they're not a fan of roller coasters after this season. I'm telling you that much. But no, seriously, I do. I love roller coasters out here. I love my local theme park. It's a good little thrill every now and then. The lines keep, you know, make sure I only go once or twice a year. I find it very, very fun.
I told the story of how when I was, I can't remember if I was like 7 or 8, all my cousins, they got on this ride. It was called the Mine Train. It was in Six Flags St. Louis. I'm telling you, it was one of the most traumatic things that ever happened to me. I haven't been on one since. I don't have any interest on, well, what if? No, I don't care what would need to happen. I don't care if Mizzou has to win the national championship. They got to find another way. I'm not getting on the Mamba if that's what needs to happen.
Hey, if you're holding back the team, you've got to take a look in the mirror and sleep with yourself on that, C-Dot, all right?
All right, last thing here, and we will get to the Royals. What are you more nostalgic about? Is it your first car or your first cell phone?
I gotta say my first car, because looking back on it, it was a sweet car. It was a 74 Plymouth. I was spoiled. That thing was so nice. And meanwhile, like what my first phone, it was, you know, a little flip phone brick that you get off the rack at Walmart for like $20 nowadays. Like, no, I'm not nostalgic about that at all. That car though, I am.
I mean, I'm assuming that 74 Plymouth, that thing had to get like 6 miles to the gallon.
It was a boat, I'll tell you what. But, man, that it rode like a dream, and it had a couch for a front seat.
Okay, all right. You know what, Jacob, let's move on. I don't got to ask no questions about that. It seemed like you included that to try to tell us something here. Let's move on here. Let's move on. This is a family show. All right.
It is.
Let's talk about this, Jacob. What do you think has changed with the Royals? Is this kind of a schedule thing because they beat up on the Pirates, or are you seeing something for the Royals that they're really turning this thing around?
So you know me by now, C-Dot. I'm a numbers guy. Some of the numbers are saying that the processes have changed and things like that. But I do think that this has a lot to do with the quality of competition they're facing. I don't want to, I don't want to detract from what they've done. You know, they haven't lost any of the last three series after going on an abysmal streak. They've won 8 of their last 12. Like, they're on a really good run right now, and we see what this team looks like when the lineup performs just at average, right? Like, the average run scored for a team right now is somewhere a little north of 4 runs per game. That's all this team needs if you have the pitching staff that they do, right? But it has to be all mental, right? Like, there are too many Royals players, what I would say, turning it around at the same time to not think that this is something more mental than physical. Whether it's a mental change at the plate, whether it's just some vibes changing there in the clubhouse. Royals fans should love the results. But, I mean, this Pirates series, the Royals were fun to watch. And the Royals knew that they were fun to watch, if that makes sense.
No, it definitely makes a lot of sense. I do know that a lot of people, and I'll put myself in this category, I don't want to point like it was everybody else, I really wanted to see them make a change with the hitting coach. It just felt like after you had back-to-back homestands where you essentially got swept, you had to kind of send a message in some capacity. That's not the way the Royals have done. And it is kind of, I don't know if ironic is the correct word, but they really have stabilized themselves kind of since that swoon where they lost the series to the Dodgers.
Yeah, and that was, I remember heading into or excuse me, heading out of that series with the Dodgers, my podcast host said something to the effect of the Royals can't go into the next series with the same man as the hitting coach. And you know what? It's crazy how winning some games, it doesn't matter what sport, doesn't matter what level, winning some games will change a lot of minds out there. And I'm of the camp that especially an in-season MLB move, it usually doesn't have the immediate results or the immediate turnaround that the fans would hope would happen. Now, I don't know if it was some fire, some more heat getting underneath that seat, or if there was something in the works for a change before, you know, after all the bad results. So listen, I don't even want to think about it, because the Royals have been doing good right now, especially after that slugfest against Pittsburgh. But it's that chatter certainly quieted down.
Jacob, let's say right now that you get a good offer for Seth Lugo. It's not a great offer. It's not one of those offers that you can't refuse, but you get a solid offer for Seth Lugo. Are you pulling the trigger right now, or are you going to wait and see what the next 2 weeks potentially look like before you make that decision?
If you would ask me this before, you know, Cole Reagan's lands on 60-day IL and some of the pitching things going on in Omaha, I would have said pull the trigger. You know, because it felt like about a month ago, starting pitching was a point of depth for this team, right? But, I mean, there's a reason why the Royals needed to go out, or not needed, but why the Royals went out and signed Dallas Keuchel after his tryout. You know, there's some underperformance going on in Omaha right now. There's a really big injury bug that is still lingering with the starting pitching that is not on the active roster, of course. And, you know, if you want to give this team any shot of turning things around ahead of the trade deadline, I think Seth Lugo is a big part of that. And if it's not an offer that's going to blow me away, then I would just hold on it, you know, be respectful, maybe continue the conversation, leave the other team along a little bit, you know, some of the good old tactics to keep the conversation going.
Right now, we're talking to Jacob Milham. He is with Kings of Kauffman. Just talking a little Royals baseball, as the Royals are turning things around a little bit, and they swept the series against the Pirates. They have an off day coming up today, and they'll get back to action this weekend against the New York Mets. Let's talk about Jack Caglione. He's hit two home runs in back-to-back days. What are you noticing for him that has him hitting two home runs in Kauffman Stadium?
It's all about the process. Like I said, it is... He was getting some of the worst, what I would call pitch hitability, right? He was getting some of the worst pitches that any hitter could actually barrel up and put over the fence. He was one of the worst in the league at that, and that was because he was amongst the most aggressive at the plate. And, you know, I don't feel like he has been nearly as aggressive at the plate, especially there in Kauffman Stadium. And I'm sorry, you don't put it out in center field as far as he did over three walls, nearly into the next county, without changing the process a little bit. He's always been a passionate player. He's always been one of those players that if a sliver of wood makes contact with that baseball, anything can happen. But for him to be getting such quality contact, I think that is more in the mental, in the process, and ultimately just picking his pitches better.
Right now, we're talking to Jacob Milham, just talking a little bit of Royals baseball. It has just really been encouraging. The point that Rob and I discussed yesterday when talking about Cags is, once you made the decision that you were going to bring him up, to me, you were going to ride with the highs and you were going to ride with the lows. We're talking about a guy who isn't even at 125 at-bats yet. We're just at 125 plate appearances. It's clear what he needs to work on. This isn't really a guy that's going to walk at this point. This isn't really a guy that has gotten hits really outside of the home runs. I mean, he's hitting 150 right now. So I think what you're seeing is a 22-year-old who, for all purposes, should probably still be down in the minor leagues. I get why he's here. I'm fine why he's here. But we all know if Jack Caglione was still having great success down in the minor leagues and the offense was struggling, that noise was only going to get louder and louder and louder. So the Royals kind of stuck in between a rock and a hard place of brought him up. And we see kind of where this has gone. But I don't regret for a bit them making the decision to bring Jack Caglione up. And eventually, if he's the hitter that people think that he can be, he'll just figure this thing out.
Yeah, and I think that's a great way to frame it. And just to echo something that Vern has said earlier on this season, once the Royals brought Jack Caglione up from AAA Omaha, they started that clock, right? They said, okay, now it's not the Jack era, it's still Bobby Witt Jr.'s era, but you know now the clock is ticking on how long the team has control over a guy like Jack Caglione. And they needed not only the jolt in the lineup every single day, but they needed that serious power threat once again outside of Bobby and outside of Salvi and outside of Vinny. There needed to be some depth further down that lineup. And, yeah, Jack had 2 weeks in a Storm Chasers uniform, and we saw what he did in that limited amount of work. It was obvious that while he could work on the process in Omaha, he wasn't going to get the same tests. He wasn't going to be facing the same level of talent, obviously, if he stayed in Omaha. If the Royals wanted to be super safe, I think there's a case that he should still be up in Omaha if they wanted to take that approach. I don't think that's the wrong way to go. But you're right. That noise only – the noise would be deafening right now. And we've seen how his bat can change the outcome of a game. And also, I just want to say this. I think it has been great that he has gotten more time with the MLB coaching staff for working in the outfield. Okay, it's easy for fans to forget that he is a natural first baseman because he has looked, in my mind, very smooth out there in right field. And he had that game-changing play against the San Diego Padres. Like, players don't make those sort of plays just by sheer luck and athleticism. They make it with a lot of work and learning. And Jack was behind the eight ball when he got moved out to right field, and he has made a lot of improvements on the fly. So I think there's more value for him being here in Kansas City just outside of the box score.
Jake, if the Royals got 2 outfielders, do you feel like Mikel Garcia got snubbed?
Yeah, no doubt. Especially as they started announcing the replacement. Okay, how many Royals fans know who the heck Zach McKinstry is of the Detroit Tigers? Like, there are so many players that if you just go and you look at their stats, it's they beat out Mikel in home runs. That's about it. Junior Caminero, that's kind of how it's been. Isak Paredes, that's how it's been. It was a snub-ish when they first announced the rosters, but that degree has only gotten worse and worse as they announce these replacements. So I don't know who Mikel made mad. I don't know, but he needs to go make up with some folks. This is going to be setting the tone for if he's going to be an all-star in his MLB career.
Yeah, I kind of thought, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, I just think it's tough to get 3 all-stars if you're an under 500 team, especially when you got your name brand player in, so to speak. You got your young, very talented 28-year-old pitcher. I just think, like, you got to, like, really know ball to kind of know Mikel Garcia. I just always thought it was going to be really tough for him to get in as another player. And getting the 2 in for the Royals, you got to feel good about that, I think.
Yeah, and that's the level of layer of context, excuse me, that makes it make sense, right? Like, this is the Royals, when they first announced the rosters, they were well under 500. Now they're 2 games under 500. But, yeah, it's not a whole lot of casual fans outside the Royals are going to know who Mikel Garcia is. There's going to be some fantasy managers out there, maybe some dynasty guys who know who Mikel Garcia is. But he's not even close to a household name right now. And that is not due to his level of play. It's more so due to how he did in 2024 than right now. Is he playing on an all-star level right now? Yes. Does it determine how the rest of his season is going to go? Absolutely not. And like you said, the Royals have more than one representative heading down to Atlanta, so that has to be worth something.
Right now, we're talking to Jacob Milham for a couple more minutes here, just getting his thoughts. Vinny looks like he's turned the corner. Salvi also looks like he's turned the corner. What's different about them in the last 20, 30 games than early on in the season?
I'm gonna double, triple, quadruple down on the mental side. It is Vinny was going up to the plate and he looked frustrated, rightfully so, but that was translating to, you know, him not working the count as much as he used to. A lot more foul ball pop outs than we would normally anticipate from him, and ultimately less walks. And, you know, Salvi's, I don't want to say he's been the outlier, but he's been the guy that, like, all season long, his expected numbers were far outpacing what he was doing in the real world. So he was kind of the guy that Royals fans could have some trust that he would turn things around. Vinny was similar, but not to the same degree. I think the process has just improved. And I don't know who to credit there in the organization, but for so many players to have a different, not a different process, but an improved process at this point in the season, I think that is commendable in my mind.
Right now, we're talking to Jacob Milham for just a little bit. Jacob, last thing here with the Mets. I mean, I understand if people are hesitant about the Royals. I certainly get it, right? I get it. But, yeah. I mean, if the Royals win this series against the Mets, they're just one game under 500 heading into the All-Star break. Like, I don't know if the Royals are sellers, so to speak, if that's the case. Like, if the Royals kind of continue on this trend where I think they're kind of in the middle, where I think logically they're not going to make the postseason, but you're hovering around 500, I think the Royals are going to be faced with a really, really difficult decision about what they should do. And a lot of that just starts with how this weekend plays itself out, how they feel about themselves heading into the All-Star break.
Yeah, and that is – I don't envy – the position that JJ Piccolo and his staff are in right now, right? Because it is, this Royals team has some guys on it that will be coveted at the trade deadline if the Royals choose to be sellers. But you just have to trust the process right now and see where the Royals are at. You know, I think after this Mets series is kind of the barometer. As silly as it sounds, it's only three games for the Royals, but it's still just the reality we're in right now. This is what happens with the expanded playoffs, with, you know, the Cleveland Guardians and the Minnesota Twins. They're in the midst of a collapse as well, similarly with the Royals. And just, we've seen what this team looks like when things are clicking on the run scoring side. They don't have to be world beaters. They just have to be average in that department. And the pitching keeps them in the game nearly every single time. 9 times out of 10, that's how the game goes. I would not blame the Royals for being tentative buyers at the deadline right now, just thinking about, are we really one bat away? Are we really one outfielder away from turning the season around and making a push? And you have to look at the rest of the schedule. The Royals do have, according to wins and losses, they do have one of the easier schedules in the AL down the stretch. Can they capitalize on that after having to face some tough teams to start off the 2025 season? So there's a lot still in the balance right now. The calculations don't love the Royals' odds of making the postseason. I checked this morning, it's sitting at about 14%. But, I mean, that was like 6% just last week. So things can change. And it really also depends on the other teams around Kansas City. So let's just focus on what they can control. And I say let's enjoy a good series against the New York Mets.
That is Jacob Milham joining us on the show. He's with Kings of Coffin. I would highly encourage you to check out the page if you want to stay up to date with everything regarding the Royals. Jacob, great stuff, man. Love catching up with you, man. We'll catch back up with you after the All-Star break.
All right, talk to you then, C-Dot. Have a good one.
Absolutely. That is Jacob Milham joining us on the show. Really happy to have him pop on the show. I want to read this text really quickly. 913-586-7965. C-Dot, if the Royals really wanted to be real contenders, then they would go out and sign Trevor Bauer. Now, I am not saying they are the same. I'm saying that the conversation and feeling around them is the same. Trevor Bauer has turned into Colin Kaepernick. Trevor Bauer last played in 2021. It's 2025. No. He is 34 years old. No. I'm not even talking about the off the field, whether I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about I'm not interested in the Royals signing a 34-year-old pitcher who hasn't pitched since 2021. It's over. I don't know what Trevor Bauer is up to, but I certainly hope that everything is going fine in his life. Peace and blessings. No. He's become Colin Kaepernick. Oh, well, our team doesn't have a quarterback. We should go get Cap. He's 37. He hasn't been playing. No. That conversation should be over. If you were talking about Trevor Bauer in 2022, sure. Maybe 2023. Bro, we haven't had a presidential election since then. No. No, we're past the first year that no, I don't want it. No, please stay away from us. There's no Trevor Bauer conversation to be had. Trevor Bauer is not changing anything for the Royals in 2025. Can he hit?
I mean, they don't have literal Trevor Bauer, but the Royals in the past handful of days have signed guys that have the same problem. They have Dallas Keuchel. He's 37. Pitched last year for the Brewers. They have Rich Hill, who's 42. He's in AAA. They have Michael Fulmer, who's 32. Like, the Royals already have a hodgepodge of has-beens in their 30s and 40s in AAA. They don't need their AAA roster to be all 35-year-old starting pitchers. That's actually bad team management. So I'm with you. Pass. There was a time where we could have a conversation of, hey, are the Royals in it enough where they should, you know, consider the baggage and sign Trevor Bauer? That is not in July of 2025. That timeline for that conversation is dead and gone.
Yeah, no, that conversation's over. Someone on the text line says Trevor Bauer has been pitching overseas. He's in the Japanese minor leagues. I'm not joking. I'm really not joking. I'm serious. His ERA right now with Yokohama, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He was 4-7 with a 4.06 ERA. And stop it. No. No, there is no time machine. If you want to go play with Trevor Bauer, I would advise you to go pick up MLB The Show. That's what I would advise you to do. MVP baseball. The Royals don't need to go get Trevor Bauer. I'm telling you, he's Colin Kaepernick. That's what he is. He's Colin Kaepernick. Hey, well, what about, bro? Kaepernick ain't played since 17. It's over. It's over. There's other backup quarterbacks out there if you're looking for. You can find somebody. Go get Gardner Minshew. Go get Carson Wentz. Tyrod Taylor is still in the league collecting NFL money. Go out there and get one of them. So, good luck to Trevor Bauer as he is in the JPCL. Well, he got demoted, so he's in the EL now. He was in the CL, now he's in the EL. He was in the Champions League, now he's in the Elite League or whatever it is. I just made that up, but that's where he is currently as we speak. All right, coming up on the other side, you know what, Rob? You told me something that I had learned, and I want to learn a little bit more about it. We'll get back to it on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob, I'm not sure if we're getting punked by the text line. I'm really not sure. Someone on the text line chimed in and said, if the Royals wanted to be real contenders, you would go out and sign Trevor Bauer. I replied that I think Trevor Bauer has now turned into Colin Kaepernick. That any time that your team is looking for a quarterback, you just suggest Colin Kaepernick. Like, wait, what? No. No. I think it's over for Trevor Bauer. maybe this was a conversation to have in 2022 or right after all of his off-the-field stuff was figured out. He hasn't pitched in the major league since June 28th of 2021. He's 34 years old. He's currently in the Japanese minor leagues. Am I being punked? That's the guy that gets the Royals over the hump? While they're dead last in offense? What are we talking about here? We got to be getting punked on the text line. I don't know what's going on. Text line's really mad about this for whatever reason. I'm confused. I mean, at this point, then, you know what? We're going to play this game. I want the Chiefs to go get Ocho Cinco. How about that? Can we just play this game then? I want the Chiefs to go get Ocho. He still looks like he's in good shape. They could definitely use a fourth, fifth wide receiver, veteran leader. Let's just go get Ocho Cinco, you know? And we're going to play this game with guys. Let's go get Ocho. It's Trevor Bauer. What are we talking about? Man's been available for 4 years. Ain't nobody touched Trevor Bauer. And now the Royals are going to do it at the All-Star break? Stop it. Let's be realistic here. What's that saying from Wedding Crashers? We would be Cowboys or pimps from Oakland. No. This is what works. Why are we doing this? Let's move on. I don't want to talk about Trevor Bauer anymore. No one's talked about Trevor Bauer for 3 years. I don't know why the text line now is bringing him up. Rob, I do have some questions about this after yesterday. I've really been thinking about this more. It's been just bouncing around in my brain ever since I heard this clip.
Kurt?
Yep.
Okay, I'm ready for you.
Let's go.
All right. My name is Catherine. I'll be doing a great clip today.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I go to one place, and that's Great Clips, because I can just go on the app.
How you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
Amazing.
I can see what the wait is. If the wait time is under 15 minutes, I just sign up. And then I can just drive there and walk right in and get right in the chair. This is what I'm looking for.
Okay, so
just like a one, and then you fade it up.
Okay, you got it.
That sound good?
Sounds good.
Now I start just holding up a picture. I took a picture from one of the headshots from a Falcons game program, and I just say, can you do this? And that usually helps eliminate any gray area. Everybody needs a little rush in their lives, and I get mine when I go to Great Clips to get my hair cut.
So, Rob, you were telling me of all of these different haircut options. I've never been to one of these kind of barbershops before. I really haven't. I normally go to your local family barbershop. I go in there, dap the man up. I sit down in the chair. Usually, there's some rap music playing. A lot of times, I can make requests. I don't know why, but me and my barber, we really started bonding over Jadakiss and Benny the Butcher. Back during COVID when I was going in there and getting the cuts. So when I go in there, that's what I request. It just puts me right back to when he and I were establishing our barber-barbie relationship. So I go in there, I dap him up, we turn on the music, we have a little good conversation, he gives me a cut, I Venmo him the money, I leave. I didn't know people were hanging out at the barbershop. I didn't know people were grabbing drinks at the barbershop. So you were telling me that there's barbershops in the city. This is what you're telling me. I could go in there and while I'm waiting for a cut, I can get a drink. Am I making the drink myself? Is there a bartender on staff? Are there other people?
No, there's a full.
Are there other people? I don't know. Are there other people hanging out here while you're doing it?
100%. It's a full bar. The place I go at least has a full bar, both beer and cocktails. You have one included in your cut. If you want a second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever, you're buying that on your own. There's a bartender, and other people are hanging out in the bar. There's got TVs on, and people are just hanging out, having a drink before they're cut. Or you can get your drink post-cut and just hang out and have a cocktail afterwards. But that's what people are doing.
Okay, I didn't know this. The text line is like, how is this so mind-blowing to you? I didn't know that this was everybody's barbershop experience. I even thought in the two Americas, I thought it was very similar. Rob, I just thought you went to like your neighborhood salon. Do you call your person that cuts your hair a barber or a stylist?
She's a stylist.
Okay. A woman cuts your hair.
Yeah.
A woman cuts my hair. I didn't know. I'm just asking.
100%.
All right. So you go in there, you sit down, and you're like, hey, you know what? I could really go for a nice IPA right now.
No, it's not the same time. I usually get the IPA, finish the IPA, get my cut.
I'm telling you right now, I don't know if they can have that in my community. I don't know if they can have that. Because you know what would happen while you're having a drink? Somebody would say something about Kobe, and then it would just be over. Right? That's probably what would happen. Somebody would say something about, you know, Kobe, and that would really be the end of it. Like, I don't know. I think Kobe was kind of overrated. And you just had you a cup? No, it's not going to be good. Maybe they should keep this out of our community.
I actually think my wife, the place she gets her hair done, they have like a little cooler, like quirks and stuff too. I think this is pretty commonplace now in the haircut community to get a little drink before or after.
The text line is saying they want to know more about this. What is this place called? It sounds awesome. Somebody else says, I've been a member of Scissors and Scotch for almost 5 years now. You just go in there.
Yeah, if you're a member, you can go in whenever.
You can just go in whenever. Just hang out.
You have to pay a membership fee. I'm not a member, but
going to hang out at the barbershop for a drink is nuts. I'm just saying, it sounds kind of crazy to me.
You're going to the bar. It's the same energy as going to a bar.
Yeah, I mean, I just assume when you go to most bars, there's ladies there. There's a lot of ladies hanging out at Scissors and Scotch.
I mean, probably not.
That's what I'm saying. That's where you're hanging out at. That seems a little odd to me.
Now, I don't know how all...
Like, you must really hate it at home. That's what you're going to do.
Now, listen, I don't know all the perks of membership, but I believe members get like a premium cocktail every time they come in, so it's already built into your costs. It's already cooked in there. Might as well go get it.
I got it. No, someone on the text line says bars and barbershops are a new thing. My barbershop has always had a fridge full of beer. Yeah, no, I didn't know. I this really blows my mind. It really has. I want to learn everything about this. I want to know why I didn't know more about this. It genuinely confuses me. What other NFL quarterback do you think goes to Great Clips? Now, we know Kirk Cousins goes to Great Clips. We know that. If you had to say right now, who's the other NFL quarterback that you are 100% they get their hair cut at Great Clips? Who else do you think that is? The text line is saying it's Justin Herbert. They're saying
no chance, 100% Justin Herbert.
Certain that Justin Herbert is the guy that is doing this.
No chance of Justin Herbert. When he had those long flowing locks, you think he'd trust Great Clips with that? No chance. I'm trying to go through the quarterbacks in my brain. Josh Allen will be a no. You don't marry Haley Steinfeld to go to Great Clips.
Yeah, he ain't going to Great Clips.
That's not a thing.
You think there's a Great Clips in Buffalo, New York?
I think there's only Great Clips in Buffalo, New York.
Okay, good point.
That and
where
snow.
Do you think, let me ask you a question. Where do you think Keon Coleman gets his haircut in Buffalo?
Florida, before he comes to work.
They gotta have one of them. Now, everybody on the team gets their haircut at that exact same place.
Or, I'm trying to think, who's the richest guy on that team other than Josh Allen? That person pays to bring a barber on staff.
Ooh, right now the text line, they're switching now. They're saying Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones
they're saying,
is the answer.
They're saying Daniel Jones is its first team Great Clips.
Daniel Jones is the answer.
Somebody
100%.
Said Baker Mayfield. No chance. I've seen Baker Mayfield dance. You think that guy go gets his hair cut at Great Clips? No chance he's going there.
Tyler Shuck. 100%. There's no way
he's in New Orleans now. You got to switch it up. Come on now.
He was
you can't be going to get your hair cut at Great Clips down in New Orleans if you're going to be the quarterback for the Saints. You can't do that. Come on now.
He went to, what, six colleges? There's no chance to build a camaraderie with the guy. He was at Tech. He was at Oregon. He was at Louisville. He had no chance to build a rapport. I mean, he has to be a Great Clips guy.
Nah, I don't think he's a Great Clips guy. See, that's the thing about college, though. Like, you know one dude that, like, you're not going to the shop when you in college. It's
if
some
you're
dude
there for
on campus.
6 months and transfer out, you don't have time to meet this one guy.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying is you just ask one of your teammates, hey, who cuts hair around here? He's going to be like, oh, yeah, Jerome down there. Just go hook him up. Give him 10. He's going to cut your hair. Guy used to cut my hair in college. His name was Linnell. I just text him. I didn't even pay him. I just burned him a CD every time. That's how barbershops, that's how getting your hair cut in college works. It works on the barter system. Like, oh, what do you need? Here, I'll just burn you a copy of The Dark Knight. Like, oh, for real? Yeah, that's my haircut. Daniel Jones does sound like he's first team Great Clips. We're going to get to the end of this. We're going to ask Patrick Mahomes this question one day. Hey, Kirk Cousins gets his haircut at Great Clips. If I had to tell you that another quarterback does, who do you think that it is? Who's the other quarterback that you think is first team Great Clips?
We should ask him starting, though. Like, I don't want to hear about how Shane Buechele gets it done at Great Clips. That doesn't count.
Okay, no, that's fair. I mean, it would actually make a lot of sense if Shane couldn't get his hair cut where Mahomes is. Hey, bro, come on now. I'll hang out with you at work. You can't come hang out with me outside of work. We're not really cool like that for you to come to my barbershop.
Brock Purdy 1,000% is Great Clips. Not a doubt
wow,
in my
we're
mind.
We're throwing that on Brock Purdy?
Brock Purdy's a Great Clips guy.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe we're throwing that on Brock. Brock's a great.
Not a doubt in my mind. Thinking about his haircut right now.
Brock.
Thinking about his energy, his Iowa upbringing, Great Clips.
You know what? Great Clips actually lost a great one. Derek Carr. Derek
100%.
Carr. Derek Carr was definitely in there just asking for the just he was calling the haircut by the number. Hey, just give me a number 2. That's what he was calling it. That's who we lost. Great clips. They picked up Kirk Cousins. They got to pick up somebody else. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Hall of Famer Denny Matthews every Monday at 3.
And gone, Bobby Witt.
On your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Coming up at the top of the hour, you know what? Let's just continue our nostalgic theme. I'll explain more coming up in just a little bit. So I was on Pro Football Focus. I like Pro Football Focus. They do some really good work over there. And they were going through the best secondaries in the National Football League. Now, number one was the Philadelphia Eagles. Makes a lot of sense to me. The Eagles' secondary is really, really good. Rob, did you know that number two on this list was the Kansas City Chiefs? The Kansas City Chiefs had the second best secondary in the league. The Ravens came in third. The Ravens have a lot of really, really good players, but it feels like a lot of that is really predicated on the health of Jaire Alexander and how much he can contribute this year. I think two might be a little high for the Chiefs secondary, but I'm certainly not mad at it. You guys usually call me Corner Dot. You have not heard me complain about the secondary at all. In fact, there's not really many things I would complain about regarding the Chiefs right now. I mean, I wish they had done more at running back, but at this point, the Chiefs have kind of made their decision, and we'll see over the course of the season if I was right or wrong about the running back position, but there's really not much wrong with the Chiefs at this point. I thought they did exactly what they needed to do at left tackle. We'll see if they made the right decision, but I like the way the Chiefs have handled the offseason for the most part. I really like the move of going to get Christian Fulton, adding him into the mix, and now you get to move Jalen Watson down a little bit. The safety play, I think, is going to be really strong this year. I do look at their secondary as one of the stronger units on the team. Again, I think two is high, but I probably would have put them like fifth or sixth. We're talking about one of the better units in the National Football League.
I mean, they're definitely top five. I think two is also incorrect. I do think the Ravens secondary is better than the Chiefs secondary, and that's because Trent McDuffie is a top five corner in the league right now. Like, I have no doubt saying that. He may be a top three corner in the league right now. Trent McDuffie is really good. Outside of that, in the Chiefs secondary, they got talent. I'm not saying they're not a top five secondary, but they don't have the depth of talent, let's say, the Ravens have. Kyle Hamilton's the best safety in football, and then Jaire Alexander, when healthy, is good, and Nate Wiggins is good, and Malik Starks, we all think, is going to be good. Like, I think the Ravens secondary is better than the Chiefs, but it looks like the Chiefs are two, and maybe it's just my, you know, untrained eye. A lot of the Chiefs secondary love feels propped up to me by how good Trent McDuffie is, because the Chiefs have good safeties, but they're not like all-world safeties. I think their number two corner would be Christian Fulton or, you know, whoever it ends up being. It could be Fulton, it could be Williams, it could be any number of players. Whoever it ends up being, I think, is a good corner, but I think their secondary on this list is propped up by Trent McDuffie is a star in the NFL.
So to give you the blurb really quickly, and I actually think that this is very, very accurate when it comes to the Chiefs, while the Chiefs may lack household names, their secondary is a cohesive unit that performs at a high level, and then it goes through some of the names. That's where I'll defend the Chiefs secondary, at least for this conversation. You're right. They don't have some of the names that Philadelphia does in their secondary or names that the Ravens have. But if you were talking about a team that certainly maximizes what you can get from their unit and has extreme versatility, basically on all levels, I think that's what you're talking about with the Chiefs. You've got two really, really good corners on the outside. You now have moved Jalen Watson down to your third. I think you put Jalen Watson at cornerback number three up against a lot of teams' number three corners. I think that Jaden Hicks is ready to take that next step and is going to be a pretty good player this year. I also think, remember going back, Noel Williams, the rookie, I think he's going to be a big contributor. I think the Chiefs are 3-4 deep at corner, and I think they've got really young, versatile safeties. you and I are about the same. I think two is a little bit high because you were telling me that either you think their cornerback room, their secondary, is better than the Eagles or the Ravens. I don't think they're better than both of those. But we're certainly talking about one of the better units in the National Football League. There's no question. Another ranking that's out there that I would love to get your opinion on, and Rob, you know that I love to bother you when it comes to the running backs. So you know ESPN, they're doing their top 10 at every position in the National Football League. Well, they started off this week with running backs, and I was saving it for this moment right now. This is how they have the top 10 running backs in the league. Number 10, Alvin Kamara. Number 9, Joe Mixon. Number 8, James Cook. Number 7, Jonathan Taylor. Number 6, Josh Jacobs. 5, Christian McCaffrey. 4, Bijan Robinson. 3, Jahmyr Gibbs. 2, Derrick Henry. And number 1, Saquon Barkley. That is how they have the top 10 backs in the league. My first question to you is, do you think Christian McCaffrey is still a top 5 running back in the league? I do still consider him to be top 5 if he's going to be healthy. Now, that is a big caveat, but in this description of Christian McCaffrey, there are only 4 players in league history, 5 players, excuse me, that have more seasons in which they have had 1,800 scrimmage yards and 10 touchdowns. Those players are LaDainian Tomlinson, Marshall Faulk, Emmitt Smith, and Walter Payton. So 4. He's 5th on that list. They each have done it 5 times. Christian McCaffrey has done it 4 times in his career. If you're going from since 2006, players who have had at least 2,000 scrimmage yards and 25 touchdowns in a season, it's LT and Christian McCaffrey. When McCaffrey is healthy and available, he is, in my opinion, the best running back in the National Football League. That includes Saquon. That includes Derrick Henry. I would take Christian McCaffrey 1. But you can't discredit what Saquon did last season. You obviously can't discredit the run that Derrick Henry and the injury concerns happened. I would still put Christian McCaffrey in my top 5. Are you putting him there?
I mean, he's absolutely not a top 5 running back in the league. I looked this up. Of the last 5 years, so dating back to COVID, we'll use COVID as our benchmark.
He's been hurt a lot.
3 of those 5 years, he has failed to get to the 16-game mark. Not 17, which the NFL has changed to 17 in that time window. He's failed to get to 16. Multiple of those seasons, he's failed to get to 10 games. You cannot be a top 5 back if you're watching the game in sweats and a t-shirt half the season. Don't get me wrong. 2023, when healthy, he was a really good running back. Those days are behind him right now. And I feel like if he was any other running back by name, I feel like you would be saying it's starting to feel like it might be over for Christian McCaffrey. He played none last year. I know he got a splash of games, but he basically played none last year. And when he did play, he wasn't super effective. He averaged 4 yards per carry behind one of the better offensive lines in football with one of the better run game minds we've ever seen. Like, it wasn't like when healthy last year, he was a 5.6 yards per carry guy and he just got hurt. He was 4 flat and he's 29 years old. If I gave you all those variables for any other running back, you would tell me, yeah, that's not a top 5 guy, and I'm worried it might be trending toward over. But he has the last name McCaffrey, and we remember the moment, so we give him a little bit of extra juice. James Cook is a top 5 running back, not Christian McCaffrey.
So I want to play some of the honorable mention guys and get your opinion on it. Bucky Irving, Aaron Jones, Devon Achane, Breece Hall, and James Conner. You feel like any of those guys deserve to be in the top 10? Is there somebody that's really sticking out?
Nothing from maybe Bucky Irving, but it's like, hey, he should be at 9. Like, I'm not going to sit here and put a cape on for Bucky Irving to be the 9th best running back in the NFL.
I personally would put Bucky Irving ahead of what I saw from Alvin Kamara. Kamara, yeah, feels like a running back who's on the decline. I also think Bucky Irving's better than Joe Mixon, but I'm with you. I'm not really going to argue that much in 9, 10, or 11. I do think Bucky Irving has a chance of being good. Bucky Irving, to me, is kind of one of those examples of what I was saying all during the draft process. You got to take a swing, and not a 7th-round swing. You got to take a swing on a prospect like Bucky Irving. If it hits like he did, you spend a mid-round pick, and you've got one of the top 15 running backs in the National Football League. That is just what I wanted the Chiefs to do. That's not what they've done. Someone asked, where is Kareem Hunt on this list? Nah, he's not on here. He's not even in the others receiving votes category. You know what? That's just not what he is. Neither is Isaiah Pacheco. That really goes to show you how quickly things turn. Because a healthy Isaiah Pacheco, He's not in the top 10. He's probably not in the top 15. He's definitely in the others receiving votes category. Kyren Williams, David Montgomery, Brian Robinson Jr., Hubbard, DeAndre Swift, Walker from Seattle. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco is definitely in that category of running back, but when you basically have a lost season the way that he did last year, you're just not going to get that love. You're not going to get that hype. Rob, let's continue our Throwback Thursday theme. There's a question I want to ask you. I'll ask it next. Keep it right here. So drive.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.